Hello, everyone. Welcome again to Heart. The Lord our God is moving mightily by the Holy Spirit. And guess who else is moving mightily by the Holy Spirit? Those that love God. Those that seek Him. Those that see Him. Those that love Him. Those that are quick to teach, quick to repent, quick to receive, they are also mightily moving, guided by the Holy Spirit. Many people, many Christians want to walk in power. They want to live a powerful life, a life of significance, a life of great purpose. Many people want to be, we all want to hear God say, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." And many people desire to be the best there is. But those who listen to the Holy Spirit, those who regard Him and walk in love with that, with people, with others, those that love the body of Christ and they love all men, they love people, they do God's word, they raise their children in the fear of the Lord, and they teach them His love and concern. And I've noticed this a lot all my life. Those that walk in love, they learn more. They're aware of how to be a blessing to other people. They may not have the most luxurious car, best looking house, best job, and the greatest education. But those that walk in love, they have a wit about them that's unmatched. And the Lord is able to relay His truth to them. They are hungry for the word. And because they have contentment, they don't go after things because they don't need to. You don't need a new vehicle every year when you're content in the Lord. If somebody else drives a better looking vehicle or whatever, it doesn't bother you because you're content. And when you're focused on the Lord, you can do things. You can do greater things. And there is a need to prosper and go forward and be wise and live a life of certainty. But the skill of living by faith is made possible by love. And those that walk in love can do things that normally couldn't be done. So those who have their eyes on the Lord, the Lord is moving mightily in them. And they love His ways, they love His people, they love His purpose. They protect the love of God in them. They protect the mission that God has given them. And they fulfill assignments. And I thank God for every one of them. The Lord put something on my heart. We're living in the last days. These are the end days. And the Lord is mightily moving by His Spirit. His return is very soon. He has to come back imminently. His return is upon us. And every day, I'm looking for Him. But I kind of hope we have one more day to do something. I want Him to come back, of course. When he's going to come back at the perfect time. But I still have some things I want to see done. So every day I have to do His work and do the goals that I have in mind. I thank God for that. I know that once He returns, all the things that we work for, you know, it's going to fall into the hands of others. But that doesn't matter. I'm going to be steadily faithful now. The Lord our God is good, and I love His plan. His plan is good. It's a blessing to all. And I want to see Him move in life. I want to see Him move in my life until He returns. And that's the best that I could hope for. But all the things that he's, most of the Word of God is dealing with and trying to get man to repent. It's dealing with man repenting and turning their heart to God. Now, when I study the Old Testament, God is good, you know, especially when you read Isaiah chapter 5. The Lord did everything he could possibly do. He prepared a place to plant grapes, a vineyard. He prepared the vineyard. He planted the vineyard. He even fenced it about so the enemy couldn't get in. And when it was supposed to bring forth good grapes, it brought forth wild grapes. And the Lord had to undo what he had done. And this was because people did wrong. They chose the way of Lucifer instead of the way of Jesus. Well, back then, they chose the way of Lucifer instead of the way of Moses and Joshua and David. They didn't choose the path of Abraham. They didn't choose the path of God. They, you know, Abraham is the path of covenant. Jacob is the path of covenant. David is the path of covenant. They didn't choose the leaders of God. They chose the way of Lucifer. They chose the way of Cain, the way of Balaam, the way of Korah. And a lot of things that would have happened couldn't happen. And in the lives of those who struggle to repent, and they do things that the old way, they, you know, they do things the worldly way. They've chosen the hard road. They're riding on the hard road. They're riding on the road of misery. But those who repent from old dead works and old dead thoughts and old dead people, those who repent from the worldly way and stop trusting it and leave it alone, and then turn their heart towards God and put all of their trust in him and look at his word, observe his word, even if you're not skilled at doing some of it, do what you can do. Your life will repair. It will repair, it will go forward, and you'll take others with you. You'll be a blessing, and the blessing won't be reversed. Many people don't do that because they don't value it. Because so many people don't do it, they don't know they don't know the blessings that's going to happen and take them over. See, when anybody starts following God, taking him at his word, living according to the word of God, when they first start, they may do it sloppy. That's to be expected. When I first got saved, my walk was sloppy. I was sloppy. It took me 6 months to get, I couldn't control my tongue. Indeed, even though I was saved, I repented every day about the way I talked. And I prayed and asked the Lord to help me to stop using profanity. And I'd do good for a while and do it again. I'd do good for a while, and then I'll let something slip. Or if I got frustrated, I'd let something slip. Or sometimes it wasn't even that. I just, in the habit. It was a habit that's just terrible. It was hard for me to break it. But I decided one day, I said, I'm gonna master this. I don't know how, but I just kept praying and doing what I could do. And I kept believing God for a change. And it finally came. Now, I did receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and when that happened, it was easy. When I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, it's like it just fell off my life. And I think the Lord allowed it to go that route because I saw what I saw the power of the Holy Spirit in me. And I appreciated it. And I said, you know, it was remarkable. The thing that was a struggle for me when I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, it just fell off my life. Now, it happens different for different people. But I believe the Lord used a situation that was aggravating me to help me see the power of the Holy Spirit. And I thank him for his wisdom. Now, it's important to know him. I said earlier, when you first start out, you may do things sloppy. That's not a big deal. It's not the end of the road. God still loves us and he cares about us. He's going to bless us anyway. When he know when you're trying, he know when you're not. And he know that some things will be sloppy. But that's not the way it's going to end. We grow from glory to glory. And the Lord knows this. And if we sloppy somewhere, the Lord is not sloppy. And Jesus is not a sloppy high priest. He represents us. The blood washed away our sins and our shortcomings and our habit system. All these things can be repaired. If he can renew the heart, if he can give us a brand new spirit, the rest of it is a cakewalk. If we just don't let our heart turn back to the world. Whenever God can get men to cooperate, repent, turn from their sins, follow him, a lot of good things can happen. But the reason for revelation, all the judgments of revelation can be avoided if people would just repent, if everybody did. But because of that, things are going to happen. And as long as men keep a stiff neck against God, there will be judgments such as the different various judgments of revelation. All that's got to happen. Now, the judgments of God don't have to happen. They're not written in stone because people still have the opportunity to turn. And I can say that biblically because that's precisely what happened with Nineveh. Now, Nineveh had filled up that day. Their sins were so full, God had just enough time to send a message. Now, he sent the messenger, but the messenger, the prophet, Jonah, wouldn't go. God told him to go east to Nineveh, and he tried to sail west. And there were people. See, God, the miracles of God have to be done through men. And Jonah was the one that God chose. And he had the anointing to help Nineveh out. He was anointed to prophesy that they were going to be destroyed. And he wanted them to be destroyed. And he knew how merciful God was and how compassionate God is that he didn't want to give them the warning. He would rather risk his own life and disobey God than to see those people be blessed. And the Lord sent Jonah, and he tried to sail west. And then the Lord sent the storm, and he told the shipmates, "You throw me overboard, and the storm will stop, and you'll live." And they did. Well, then God prepared a fish, and there is no fish. And there's no whale that can carry a man to land and he live. Now, the foolish scientists, they say that, you know, that God didn't do it. First of all, it didn't say it was a whale. And they're right, a whale can't do that. It's not designed for that. A whale is not designed to be a submarine. But when you read the word of God, it said God prepared a fish to swallow Jonah and take his behind back to the land. And then he had a 3 days journey ahead of him. And so Jonah made his trip in 1 day, which means the Holy Spirit transported him so he could warn the people so God wouldn't have to destroy them. Now, all Jonah did, he told them that God was going to destroy them for their sin. And the king repented. And he made the whole nation fast. He didn't even let the animals eat. And they repented and prayed that God wouldn't destroy them. And the judgment of God didn't fall, which it was about to. If God didn't take Jonah in time, he would have had to judge him because the time had run out. That's why God had to do these miracles and prepare fish to bring him back to land. And then he had to transport him, just like he did Philip in the book of Acts. And sometimes he would transport Elijah. See, the rapture is nothing new. There's nothing for God to transfer a man from one place to another, or just take him off the earth entirely. That's easy, you know. That's not hard. It's big to man, but small to God. So, if the preachers that love God can preach God's word like Jonah, and then the people repent like the king of Nineveh and all the people of that nation, if they can repent, the judgments don't have to fall. And if you love God and you determine to walk in this way, you're going to learn things you can't learn any other way. A lot of people are looking for all the things that, you know, the mighty things that's going to happen. Every time something happens, they're looking to see, are we closer? The thing to do is repent. If you know you're wrong, repent. And your friends and loved ones that you love so much, go before the Lord, because it's hard to get men saved and get on the right track. But the Holy Spirit can give you wisdom. And those who seek the Lord's face, we can learn how to help our loved ones. He can tell us when to call them and what to say and how to help them, what not to say. Because you're dealing, let's say that it was dark and the house is drafty. The lights went out and now you got a candle. Now, you light the candle, you got some light. But because the house is drafty, you have to protect that flame. All right, it's just like a man's soul. You don't have to be afraid, but you have to handle things wisely. Only by the Holy Spirit can we get folks out of hell. We're going to have to receive His wisdom. We're going to have to be at peace ourselves. We're going to have to stay in faith. And we're going to have to receive knowledge from God so that we can be appropriate and win the loss. Now remember, your prayers avail much. And sometimes the people that you're trying to get saved are offended and they can't receive from you. So you'll have to pray that God will send laborers to them and get rid of the offense. You may not even know of the offense. But these are blockades that the devil uses to keep people from hearing. Some people can't. Don't take it personal when people can't hear from you. The devil did that. He made the rift. But with your prayers, you can break through and destroy what the enemy has done. You may have forgotten about some offense that happened 10 years ago, but they're still holding on to it. And they can't receive from you. So you have to pray for your loved ones that somebody else may minister to them, or the Lord will help you clear up the problem. Because the word of God is sown in peace. Now we can destroy deception. And by the wisdom of the Holy Spirit, we can help people come out of all forms of deception. But if they choose the way of rebellion, then they're on their own. The Lord knows how to deliver the lost, if they can be delivered. I have a friend, I said, and he was in my opinion, wayward, but I loved him. And I could tell, I said, it seemed like he had a good heart. With all his stubbornness, he had a good heart. I said, Lord, whatever you do, save this man. Don't let him go to hell. And the Lord was able to save him and take him to heaven. And he was a friend of mine. Now, that won't always work. But with God, all things are possible. Otherwise, pray for people unless the Lord tell you to stop praying. If the Lord tell you not to pray for them, don't. That's a sin to death. But otherwise, pray for them. Love them. Be a blessing to people. Because that can make the difference. And in my experience, when people know you love them and care about them, they're going to go get in a ditch. And when they do, if they can humble them, their hearts, they'll hear you. And they'll be able to make wise choices. Sometimes people know they're wrong. And sometimes people don't care whether they're wrong or right. But if they can be saved, the wisdom of God can help us do it. Now he knew that Nineveh would repent if Jonah went and warned them. There's another case, Ezekiel. Now God told Ezekiel that the people were not going to listen to him. Now how about that? The Lord know that the people won't listen, but go warn them anyway. And he did. And they didn't listen to him. I got another one, Jeremiah. The people came to Jeremiah asking him what the Lord had to say. And they said, they told Jeremiah that whatever the Lord tell them to do, they're going to do it. And they're going to repent. And they're going to obey God. So Jeremiah went and sought the Lord. 10 days later, the Lord gave him the word to give him about don't go to Egypt, but go surrender to the king of Babylon, and he was going to let them live in the land. Now that's what the Lord told them, and they will have peace. But they didn't listen. They decided they were going to Egypt anyway. And they fussed Jeremiah out. They fussed at him. He said, the Lord didn't tell you that. We're going to do it our way. And then Jeremiah said, you dissembled in your heart when you sent me to the Lord. They had already dissembled in their heart. That's why God waited 10 days to reply. And then guess what happened? They went to Egypt, and everything according to the word of the Lord happened to them. They got killed, they got put in jail, and then the king of Babylon came. Jeremiah, the Lord told him to stack some bricks by the brick kiln. Said, this is where the king of Babylon is going to come and set his throne. And then he pronounced all the things he was going to do against Egypt. And just as sure as Jeremiah prophesied, it happened. And they were thinking that the Pharaoh was going to rescue them. And then the king of Babylon came and took over Egypt and took the Pharaoh back to Babylon, or killed him. Everything happened according to the word of Jeremiah in their sight. And they could have lived in the land. The Lord was going to allow them to go back to Jerusalem and stay there in peace. Now they'd have had to pay their taxes to Nebuchadnezzar, but they weren't going to even go to Babylon. And if anybody went to Babylon, they were taken captives and they lived a hard life afterwards. They made that road hard. They took the hard road. They took the road of misery, the road of rebellion, because they wouldn't let go of their deception. See, people trust something. And when you're deceived and you operate in deception anyway, You have to live a hard life. It's way out of the confines of God's will. It's not God's will to live a hard, miserable life like that. But so many people choose the path. They don't value the true path. They don't value the right way. They don't value the life way. They don't value the life of God. And then they lose everything, just like Adam. God told him not to eat off that tree. That you do, you should have died. Did it anyway. Took the hard road. Now it's the end days. People are looking for the things of Revelation. Some people think it's going to be exciting. It ain't going to be. It's not going to be exciting. It's going to be miserable. It's going to be bad, folks. I don't want to see anybody that I know left here. And it's upon us. It's got to happen. And people are still not repenting. Now, there are many people that's getting saved because the Lord is moving mightily by His Spirit. But it's better to repent than burn. If you can repent, if people on the earth would repent, all the things written in Revelation don't have to happen. Just like Nineveh. The seven bowl judgments, the seven vial judgments, the seals, none of that has to be unraveled. Those judgments don't have to happen if people would repent. But will they repent? No, they're not going to repent. But those that love God will. And when people see people living the life of God, it inspires people to do what they should do. Nobody has to take the hard road. They don't have to take the low road, the worst road there is. They don't have to take the way of Satan, the way of Lucifer, the way of Cain and Corey and Balaam. They don't have to take the hard road. But they can love God, stay in the love of God, and operate according to His wisdom. And they can learn things that people don't learn. They can do things that people don't do. They can see the miracles that we love to teach about. God loves us so much. They can experience what I experience in my relationship with the Lord. And that's the will of God. The Lord don't delight in tearing up the world, but He's got to do it because men have hardened their heart. And they took the hard road. They didn't take the way of life. When you faithfully serve the living God, He takes you beyond. Now, the way of obedience is great all by itself. Abraham, all he wanted to be was a father. He loved God's will, but he didn't want much. He wanted to be a father. That's what was important to him. But he made a covenant with God. And the Lord selected to make him father of nations. Now he never took the low road. He made choices that he shouldn't have made, but he did things he didn't have to do. He lied to the king of Egypt and the king of Gerar, saying that that Sarah was his sister. But overall, he took God at His word. And he was a prophet. And he eventually took the high road. And he became precisely what God said he'd become, father of nations. And the nation of Israel is his chief descendants. And so are others. And their territories surrounded Israel, such as Turkey and other nations, Moab. They came from him. Well, Moab came from Lot. But there were other nations that came from Father Abraham. Isaac's descendants, Esau's descendants, they were his descendants. And then he had other children that became nations. Now, when you take the Lord and his word and you live a life of obedience, you may not be doing ministry work. You're just living a good, wholesome life. You're living the life of God. You're living life above ground. You're taking the high road. You're being a blessing to people. Over your lifetime, you will leave a pattern of good works. But I'm not satisfied with just a life of obedience. Let's say we draw near to the Lord so that he can draw near to us. And we spend time in his presence and ask him questions. He's going to give you wisdom and insight. And as you do it, you're going to learn things you couldn't learn any other way. I'm not knocking a life of obedience. That's wonderful. In obedience, the door is open for you to learn greater things. See things on a renewed way, a better way. And that's what I'm after. That's the blessing. There are many people that love God and they take him at his word and they do his will and they're not stubborn. They will see the handiwork that the old preacher's talking about. And they know better. They learn better. They learn wholesome things. When you take away all the fire and brimstone and the judgments of Revelation, it doesn't have to happen if people would just repent now.